Jody Baltessin is a poet, writer, and archivist in Winnipeg, Treaty 1 territory. Her poetry explores place and the archive, drawing on the materiality and layered meanings of landscape and records, and the history of the archive itself. Her poems have been published in Prairie Fire, Hamilton Arts and Letters, Grain, Pangerous, the League of Canadian Poets Poetry Pause series, and the New Quarterly. In 2022, she was awarded first place in the Prairie Fire Press McNally Robinson Booksellers Writing Contest for Poetry, and placed third in Grain's Short Grain Contest. Her poetry suite, Invasion Studies, was shortlisted for the 2016-17 Gwendolyn McEwen Exile Poetry Prize. Jody is a volunteer book reviewer for Prairie Fire. Welcome, Jody.
Thank you. Right. So I'm going to be kind of looking off screen because I'm reading from my screen. So that's my orientation. So first of all, thank you to Angeline for inviting me to read at Speaking Crow, and also to Thin Air for including me in this year's festival. I just want to say that I have a soft spot for Speaking Crow because it was the first place when it was still live at Millennium Library, where I read my work live. And that was both a wonderful and a frightening experience. Frightening because you had to walk up to the podium. But there is such a great core of supportive writers. I encourage you, if you're thinking about, breaking into sound, to give it a try, the open mic a try. So for tonight, I thought I would draw from three streams of my writing. The first piece I will read is a family history memoir piece. The second reflects on the archive. I spent some 33 years working in two different archives in Winnipeg. And the third section I'll read a piece from Manterio Trail Untethered, which was in Prairie Fire this past summer, and follow that with something I've written since that was published. And it's simply going to be called Coda. So just a few notes on the first piece that I'm going to read. It's the story of how one part of my family made their way to Canada in the 1890s. And my great-grandfather was essentially sent by his family to see if settlement in Bruxelles, Manitoba, which is in southwestern Manitoba, would be a site that the whole family should commit to. So on his travels, he kept a journal, and I'll be using extracts from this journal throughout the opening section, always preceded by reading the date for the entry so that you'll know when it's my great-grandfather, Auguste de Pape, who's speaking to you. The working title for this text is Extracts from the Lakebed Journal. The lake in question here is Glacial Lake Agassiz. And I just find it fascinating that the meltwater from Lake Agassiz is believed by some theorists to have contributed to worldwide flooding and the prevalence of flood myths in the traditional stories of many cultures around the world. So I'll start in this section. The first section of this manuscript is called Sounding. Sounding. Hands, breath, a willow switch, held above a landscape squared. Each square a claim against the underlying plane. Canon of insulation, a theory for glaciation. Axis, orbit, tilt, unangled by degree, then ice, Laurentide, its chill, a hard press insisting south, eons, pause, a pulse of heat, flux and retreat, spillway margins expanding, contracting, meltwater scouring, rough shorelines cloaked in spruce, strand lines, a lake bed flat and dry. Object biography, glaciotectonic cut, Ruxells. Along the south side of the Fan Delta, irregular topography, disordered terrain, elevated drift-mantled shale bedrock, ice thrust masses, a socket, depression, a large hill 75 meters high, 5 kilometers squared, glacier thrust shale, folded, tilted, exposed, small incipient thrust faults, older stratified drift, and silence, or rather generative sound, the earth spinning through rain and all the seasons, and everything is delivered. Tall grasses, bison bent, the people, the rhythm, land, water, sky. Through line. Arrival is complicated, a story gestated in the rush of Agassiz's decline. Her cold broke water, a glacial cocktail clinking ice, spilled over continents, slipped under Atlantic fog, pulled the gale heavy sky down onto the heads of gods and men. Unleashed a fever dream of floods and fury, of nations breaking, forming, of fierce intent despoiling, all through the ages till my blood dreamt a limitless plain to run to, la terre noire comme du cirage. 12 April, 1893. Beloved parents, brothers, sisters, kinsmen, kinswomen, friends, acquaintances, etc. I left Antwerp on 12 April at 7 p.m. with the steamer Chester for Grimsby in England. Pour se rendre compte des opportunités offertes par ce pays is to loosen the button down of homeland, where hunger for geography, to fill with echo. At night he dreams of finally, catalogues all he sees there, a meadow, a hill, a house on solid ground, water moving, when daylight comes. 21 April 1893. This morning my first thought is again for you. I wish I could write, dear parents, etc., I have, thank God, arrived. I am already working, and shortly I will be able to send you a little sum of money. But no, the time hasn't come yet. Let us be full of hope. The moment is near. Clarity. And when he feels untethered, pieces of himself scattering across a map he cannot read, he reaches into absence, touches ocean and sky, a weather system descending, the language of atmosphere scoring his skin at sea. 22 April 1893. Oh, how wonderful, awe-inspiring, and terrifying it is to be on a fragile vessel, and to be able to behold the mighty ocean, its unlimited vastness, disturbed by an unseen hand. Our ship sways like a nutshell from one side to the other. Foaming, mighty waves come rolling with doubled force, threatening to overflow everything. Rhetoric for West. Steel rails, blackened ties, crushed rock ballast, sleepers, bolt and spike. Westward over swampland, on wood trestle bridges, through valleys and tunnels, the dense boreal, Precambrian, at depots and sidings, earthwork, gutter, ditch, axle grease and grief. 30 April 1893. What a bold and daring construction. The train is speeding fast over wooden bridges that span deep precipices, speeds through long tunnels where a beam of light never penetrates. Not many animals do we see, although bears and wolves are hiding in great number in this howling wilderness. They all run away when the magical train speeds by. Situate. As rough wild gives way to sky, opens out toward a point of light, a distance yet to cross, he longs to anchor into the earth at depth succulent. 1 May 1893. Now has begun the month of May, the month of Mary. It is Monday, and this morning we have arrived in the territory of Manitoba. Now we see nothing else than dry grass and small bushes. Here and there we see a pond or small lake glittering as a silver plate on the plain. Portrait of the Patriarch as a parcel of land. Immigration rather than displacement, a calculated move. Arrival in Winnipeg, 10:20 in the morning. Departure from Winnipeg, 2 May, 10:55 in the morning. Arrival in Holland, 4:30 in the afternoon. Departure from Holland, 3 May, 11:50 in the morning. Arrival in Bruxelles, 3 in the afternoon. Good position coming up. Good fields. Farm for sale. DLS, southeast, 25, 623 west. Where D is dominion, and dominion is autonomy. Where L is land, and land spreads out in all directions. Where S is survey, and to survey is to see and measure and own. Where own is a concept torn from an old world crowded. He told them to come, and they did. Sold everything for this land so like. Then broke it, picked stones, cut furrows straight, sowed seed. Green grew the wheat, women, stout with bearing, stoked wood stoves, stitched flour sacks, bright with colored thread. The Lord is, laid damp over rising dough. We can achieve a good fortune in this country by applying the same zeal and care as in Belgium. The work was hard. Right, so that's from A Work in Progress. This next section is, thank you. this next section is some reflections on my work in two of the larger archives in Winnipeg. A version of this piece appeared first in TNQ, the New Quarterly. I think it was in 2018. It's called Notes on Materials. One. Wedged tight on shelves in dry back rooms, our leather-bound volumes sigh. Bits of their skin, defatted, dehaired, flake and fall to the floor. A grim red-brown debris. Heedless, we wrestle them free, press open their brittle boards, crack their spines, to savor the supple paper within. We want the words, their incantation, the indrawn breath preceding their commitment to the page. Two. Likewise, Our letters on their oxidized paper suffer. Their loss is incremental. Embrittled, they shed corners, split mid-cursive along fold lines, leave us hanging, our discourse disjointed. We insert our words here, our thoughts impose there. Three. And in their mylar sleeves, our photographs demise. Their silver salts, unbound, migrate upward, rearrange to blue, a mirrored sheen refracting. So this next piece, which is again on the archive, first appeared in Poetry Pause, which is the League of Canadian Poets Poem Day project. It was in, I think it was in 2021. And it begins with a quote from Jacques Derrida. He is a French theorist whom archivists have a bit of a love-hate relationship with. It's called Read Again, and this first bit is from Derrida. The archive, if we want to know what that will have meant, we will only know in times to come. Perhaps. Not tomorrow, but in times to come, later on, or perhaps never. Derrida. Start from scratch. Scratch on clay. Papyrus, parchment, linen. Paper pressed from rag and lime. Circumscribe each piece of land. Count each measure of grain. Praise each god, intemperate or calm. Scratch words on with pigment, stroke, and stain. Oak gall, gum arabic, vitriol. Crush, steep, strain. If not for the archive. Vellum-bound minute books thick with ink, stitched bindings, dry bursting, pages loose, brittle dockets wrapped round their contents tight, acidic flat files. All of it, the whole, the volumes and the files, fragments, remnants, gaps, the ragged tear, the fraught truncation, words on words constructing, the grief of lost articulations disturb each summative line. Read against form, words break the habit of sentences, pages extricate from bindings, lose their pagination, slide out of the archive, reconsign as seasoned wood laid with tinder. So that's the archive. So lastly, I'm going to read just one section from Manterio Trail Untethered, which you can find in Prairie Fire Summer Issue, or you can also listen to it on the Thin Air website. I'll follow this with a coda, as I mentioned, that was written after the publication of Manterio Trail Untethered. So I'm reading from the third section. It's called Boreal Obad. Boreal Obad. As lichen rhizines, fractured gneiss pebbled under the tent, the citrus of pine interpolate my skin, the taste of truffle, the hard bite of iron. I caution myself to be gradual, hold a banded rock, its surface rough, folds of feldspar, mica, quartz, calibrate a metamorphic time where there is always river, flowing past tree, bur oak, balsam fir, black spruce, exposed roots scrabbling for meager soil. I open my lungs to low bush blueberry, breathe the infinite sky, all its tributaries. My bones ache, a slow awakening. Coda. A campfire inside a rusted grill, free burns through scavenged wood, follows its nature, a hunger, points a blue finger toward aspen, pine, willow, birch. Between the trees, heat hangs translative, burdens the high loft of leaves, the sugar and green of cells dividing, cambium, sapwood, heartwood, new rings ripening. Somewhere in this elegance, a pine beetle sinks its mandibles into tender bark, tastes the heady lager of phloem, follows its nature, a hunger, carves its place. Smoke billows from the smoldering char of our fire, flattens under a lip of cool air descending. Our eyes, tearing up, dilate into darkness tempered by fragile faith, while the forest, its contours bold in fading light, its energy, its hunger, stretches beyond what we can see. Thank you so much for listening in, for tuning in.
Thank you, Jody.